Well, Mr. Brady, a lot of families and small businesses breathing a big sigh of relief knowing that January 1st is going to be just another day when it comes to taxes.
Thankfully now, no American family or small business will face a tax hike on January 1st. They had a gun pointed at their head. We pulled it down, and it was a fight because a lot of Democrats want to raise taxes on families, and almost all of them want to bring back the death tax, which is so devastating to family-owned businesses and family-owned farms. As a matter of principle, I'm not voting to raise taxes on any American for any length of time, period. And this bill stops that. And thankfully, you know, this will not only help families and businesses, it's going to help our economy as well. To create some certainty, economists tell us it will help boost the economy. Probably more importantly, if it hadn't passed, if that gun would have gone off, it would have been very damaging for families, businesses, and our economy.
The estate tax compromise that passed in the tax bill was built off of your bill, and it was a bipartisan effort, and so many small business groups and family farm groups have said, if we've got to have one, let's have something sensible.
I lead the death tax coalition in the House, and our goal is to repeal the death tax permanently. But our small businesses and family and farms came together and said, if you can't repeal it with this president in the White House, this is the rate that will protect 99.9% of us and allow the rest to survive. So that, my bill, became the final provision in that law. And what I'm proudest of is that the government will no longer be able to swoop in and take more than half of everything you've worked your life to acquire, whether it's your nest egg, your farm, the business you want to hand down to your kids. That's the principle. We're going to keep fighting to repeal it completely. But my guess is we're going to need more people in the Senate, probably a different person in the White House.
Well, another thing you tried to do with the tax bill was get an amendment in there to actually pay for the spending.
The bill had almost $750 billion of tax relief, but it had spending that I didn't like, about $100 billion of it. So I offered an amendment, pushed $153 billion of spending cuts to offset that bill. Unfortunately, House Democrats would not give me a straight up or down vote in the House, and so that opportunity is missed, but it's not over. That's not the last word. We're coming back in January. I'm bringing back that bill because we can't go deeper in debt, and conservatives, Republicans in the House, we're going to fight to lower that deficit and offset spending such as was in the bill.
And the spending cuts that you proposed were pretty simple, normal family budget cuts people can understand.
These are the cuts the president's own bipartisan commission said we ought to undertake. Freezing salaries at the congressional level and in federal workers, reducing the White House and Congress's budgets by 15%, shrinking the size of the federal workforce, selling off excess property, collecting taxes from people in Congress and in federal government who haven't paid theirs. Just simple common sense reforms. We're going to keep fighting for it.
Probably one of the most positive things that happened last week is that the omnibus got pulled. And even that name sounds a little ominous.
You know, it really is. We've had to fight a lot of bad bills in this lame duck. I'm really pleased we stopped that tax gun from going off. But I'm also pleased we stopped that omnibus. You know, it had almost 7,000 earmarks with tens of billions of dollars in wasteful spending. Plus, they continue to grow the government. After November, after the voters told us absolutely not, they were trying to force it through anyway. That's ended. Now we'll likely have a very short term, maybe through February, just a temporary spending bill without any of those earmarks. Even that, I think, is too high. We just need to start cutting now, not wait till next year.
We got to look into how Afghanistan and the Pakistan situation is going for our troops this week. And, you know, we really have to stay steadfast, don't we?
Well, we do. Conditions are difficult for our troops in Afghanistan. But despite the hardships, the counterinsurgency strategy is helping our efforts to defeat al-Qaeda and the Taliban. We have to prevent terrorists from using the region as a safe haven to launch attacks on the U.S. and our allies. And as the administration's review states, our gains over there are fragile and reversible. And so you have to not pull the plug too soon, not have a political timetable. You have to remain steadfast in the commitment to that strategy, and also to make sure our troops aren't fighting over there with one hand tied behind their back. You know, this is a counterinsurgency strategy, but we need to maintain strong protections for our troops so they can protect themselves over there as well.
Christmas is coming up. Anything you'd like to say? And I'm assuming it's not just happy holidays.
It is, and it's Merry Christmas. This coming weekend, hundreds of millions of Americans will be celebrating Christmas in their holidays, in their faith. And while we gather around the tree with our loved ones, enjoy just the sheer pleasure of watching our kids open the gift they most wanted, families being together, we all have to take a moment to give thanks and say prayers for our soldiers who are not getting to be with their loved ones. The sacrifices being made half a world away make our family celebrations possible. It's my Christmas wish that every soldier come home safely in victory, and every military family know that this Christmas we have them in our prayers. And also, if you can help out a military family or someone in need this Christmas, then that's the true spirit of the season that our Lord wanted us to embody. So from the Brady family to yours, the merriest of Christmases, and our best wishes for a healthy and prosperous new year.